Father, as always, I thank you for the entrance of your word. Today, let it shine in our hearts to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I have just a short exhortation. I hope it won't be too long this morning. High winds or dark clouds, faith still marches on. Well, let's see what the scripture has to say about that. What are high winds and what are dark clouds? You know, and how does faith respond? That's all we wanted to talk about today. We were going to be getting back into the book of Hebrews, but not just this morning. Let's read Ecclesiastes chapter 11. We're going to read from verses 3 and 4 is where I am going, but I'll just start it from verse 1. Cast thy bread, he says, upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Right away we see there's a lesson there. Not quite my subject this morning, but there is a lesson there. You know, if you can, and let me just throw out this punchline right away from the start. If you can find a way, I mean, if you can give it away, God will make a way to get it to you. Let me say that again. If you can give it away, God will make a way to get it to you. So, if you are a channel of blessing, God will keep the blessing coming. Cast your bread on many waters. Hallelujah. If you know how to cast the bread out, well, there is a hidden blessing here as well, that it'll come back to you in many ways. But I want to say that, look, we all need to develop and grow in the grace of giving. Because when we give it away, God will bring it back to you. That's what this verse is saying. Well, that's not my subject this morning, but it's right here. So I just dropped that. Give a portion to seven and also to eight. For thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Well, you don't know who's going to receive you in later on. You don't know which good, you know, that you have done that will be a blessing either to you or even to your children later on. There is a story that comes to mind. I was sharing this with members of the family yesterday. The story of Mephibosheth came to mind. When King David, or David became king, and he said in 2 Samuel chapter 9, he said, look, is there anyone still left of all the sons of sons of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? You can read the whole chapter of 2 Samuel chapter 9. Powerful stuff. And David was going to show kindness to anyone from Saul's house. Not because of Saul. Saul was very cruel to him. Saul was always trying to kill him. But Saul's son was very kind to David. He was always trying to save David's life. So now that David got into the rulership and the kingship, he remembers and says, well, I need to show kindness to somebody from Saul's house because of what Jonathan did for me. But that's a good lesson for us there. And sometimes people forget, you know, when they get up in life, they forget those who helped them along the way. This man remembered, you know, and even we see the story of Joseph. You know, after, you know, he, you know, interpreted the dream and so forth, and the butler or whatever made it back to the, you know, palace and said, remember me. But he didn't remember him. 2 years go by. He didn't remember him until later, you know, when Pharaoh had a series of dreams. And so, you know, it's a good thing to remember those who helped us along the way. Anyway, this Mephibosheth, you know, God was going to do something great for him. We're not quite at my lesson yet, but I'm just speaking as the Holy Spirit is bringing it to my mind. And David just took this man from the dunghill. The Bible says he takes a dunghill, beggars from dunghill, set him among princes. This man here was one that had escaped, after someone tried to kill all the children of Saul. This Mephibosheth hidden away, but he was lame in his feet when he came before David. He called himself even a dead dog. But David said to him, "From now on, because of your kindness, the kindness of Jonathan, your father, I'm going to restore to you all the land of Saul. And not only that, you will eat bread at my table like one of the princes. You're going to sit at my table." Glory to God. Powerful stuff. And in just one moment like that, this Mephibosheth's life changed, because of the goodness that the king extended to him. And I was talking to someone yesterday about the king's favor. When the king extends the favor to you like that, that's it. It's a done deal. He extends favor, and for the rest of his life, this man, not only did all the servants of Saul, not only were they commanded to now serve him, but he was promoted to sit and eat bread with David on the king's table. Now, why am I saying all this? Because it just came to mind as I was reading this, Ecclesiastes 11. He said, "Give your bread, give a portion to seven and to eight. You don't know what evil is going to be on the earth, and you don't know when it's going to come back to you. You never know." And, but here's where we are really going today. Verse 3 and 4. "If the clouds be of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be." Now, you may not understand that just yet. Listen to the next verse. "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap." Why is he talking about clouds? Why is he talking about rain? Why is he talking about tree and all that? Well, there really isn't anything that you can do too much about the clouds. If the clouds hold rain, then then the rain is going to fall. And and you are cutting down the tree, it's going to fall somewhere. Whether it's south or north, it's going to fall. But it's going to fall. But here it's saying, don't worry about, the clouds. Don't worry about, the wind. Because if you do, you won't do anything. If you come out and look out the outside and say, "Wow, it's very windy today. And it's very cloudy, the gathering storm, everything is looking dark and gloomy. And it's going to be a heavy down." Well, you're not going to go out and do anything. It's just, especially if you are a farmer. It's a farmer type he's talking about here. You need to go out and plow the field. You need to go out and sow something. But you're not going to do it because the clouds, dark clouds everywhere. High winds are blowing and everything. They're going to say, this is not a day to go out. So whosoever is looking at the wind, the wind is blowing and everything. If I go and sow, it's going to blow away my seed. Well, if you're looking at the winds like that, and you are regarding the clouds, well, first of all, if you look at the winds, you won't sow anything. Because you're already even discouraged before you started. And if you don't sow, then you're not going to reap anything. So this is the lesson we want to talk about today. And I want to talk, don't immediately jump to conclusion about what my sowing and reaping is. I'm not talking about anybody giving any money to me or anything like that. I don't preach that at all. when we come on these platforms. But I'm going to tell you, you know, be patient here and see what we want to talk about today. I want to talk about real faith, you know, that holds on to God's word, no matter what the conditions or circumstances around you are. That's what I'm talking about this morning. That's what the lesson is. You know, instead of looking, you know, at the circumstances or being fearful, you need to step forward by faith and then keep your eyes on the Lord, not on the winds and not on the clouds. You know, one time, you know, about the, you know, the, about a year or so ago, the Lord began to give me a word for our fellowship here. I was in the church service, crossover, and then in the New Year service. And I said, I put out certain things. One of them I want to use here. I said, you know, every shot, you know, consider a basketball game. You know, if the clock is winding down, the shot clock, and they throw you the ball is in your hand. And if you don't take that shot because you're wondering whether you will make it or you will miss it, well, every shot like that that you pass up is a shot that you already missed. So think of that. You know, if you pass up the opportunity, then you already missed that opportunity. Every shot you don't take is a shot you already missed. You didn't take the shot because you're thinking, well, the game is on the line. What if I don't make it? You'll notice that, you know, if you love that game, I love that game. I love to watch that game. You know, the real go-getters and champions and the heroes of such a game, they want the ball in a situation like that. You know, they live for that moment. The moment where everything is on the line, they want the ball, you know, and they're screaming for the ball. Other people don't want the ball. They just don't want the ball in that situation because, you know, I don't want to be the one that loses the game. They're going to think, but this other person is thinking, I want to be the one that wins the game. You know, so that's what I want to talk about today. You know, what do we see in any situation? Do you see the high winds? Do you see the dark clouds? Or do you see the possibilities of advancement in any situation? You will see something. Do you see the negatives? I mean, look at how God even puts roses out there. Roses grow among thorns. But when you look at a bunch of roses, I mean, when you're trying to pick the roses, you know, not the ones you go and buy in the store. They've already cut out the thorns and stuff. But where they grow wild, the wild roses, you know, when you're looking at those, you may be seeing either the thorns or you may be seeing the roses. It all depends on what you want to see. Some people will see the thorns. Some people will see the roses. When you're looking at a glass of water that has water halfway, what do you see? Do you see a glass that is half empty? Or do you see a glass that is half full? We're looking at the same thing. Somebody will say, well, I see a half empty glass. Another one will say, well, I see a glass that's half full. There's a big difference. The one that sees the glass half empty is like the one that sees a bunch of thorns. Because the glass that is half empty, you know, your unconscious mind, if you see the glass as half empty, then the water is draining. But it's the same, the water is at the same level. But the one that sees the glass as half full, then the water is rising. But they're looking at the same glass. So what do you see? Do you see giants in the land? You know, we've talked about this story multiple times. You see a land that is full of giants, a land that, you know, swallows up the inhabitants. Do you see yourself as minuscule and, you know, small and grasshoppers in the face of the situation? And you see yourself as, you know, we can't go up against that. I mean, that's just no way we can do that. Or do you see yourself, do you see a land that's flowing with milk and honey? And do you see the inhabitants of the land as bread? Say they are bread for us because our God is with us. Now, do you see the challenges that are on the way, or do you see the word of promise? You know, this is what we want to talk, short exhortation that we want to talk about today. What do you see in front of you? Now, let me guarantee you that you are going to need this exhortation. I guarantee you that right now. Even if today everything looks good, it may be before the end of this day. It may be before the end of this week, but you are going to need this exhortation. And you are going to come up with a situation, or situations are going to present themselves that you are going to have to be intentional about what you see. And you know that's happening all the time. You're either going to see the promise. We're going to talk about that more when we get into Hebrews 11. I can't wait to do that. You're going to either have to see the promise, or you can see the situation, you know, that's overwhelming in front of you. You know, now, real faith will always hold on to the word of God, no matter what. Remember what the scripture says in Psalms 119 and verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Well, heaven is good, but let it be settled in our hearts as well. You know, so forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven, and it is settled in my heart as well. You know, I'm going to believe God. I'm not going to look at the situation. God has given us not only many promises, but he has also given us assurances around those promises. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20 tells us that all the promises of Christ, I mean of God, are yea and amen in Christ. They are not yes or no, perhaps or maybe, you know, should or shouldn't, you know, and all that stuff. It's not an up and down thing. His promises are yea and amen. And if we know that, well, the devil will present opportunity for you to doubt. Everything, you know, that you are pressing toward to achieve will be met with challenges along the way. They'll be met with giants in the land. They'll be met with high clouds and dark winds. High winds and dark clouds. They will be met with all kinds of situations. And when the Lord gave you a promise when you are in process to achieve that promise, you're going to have opportunity to doubt many times. The book of Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 1 says, whose report are we going to believe? Are we going to believe the report of the Lord? Or were the enemy, through discouragement, through fear, through unbelief, through all these dark clouds and high winds, trying to bring your way? You know, whose report are you going to believe? You know, that's the question. We can either believe the word of God and believe him who has promised and know that he has promises and is able to do it, you know, or, you know, we believe something else. You know, so whose report are we going to believe? Isaiah 53 and 1. Also, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 9 tells us the same thing, or similar thing. If we receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater. You know, most of the time it's the witness of man that our mind is prone to receive and to believe, not the witness of God. you know, you may have received a doctor's report for yourself or a loved one or a child. There is nothing worse. You know, I mean, getting bad news for yourself is bad enough. Getting that bad health report for your child is even worse. But whatever it is, what is going to be your posture of faith? You know, what is going to be your answer of faith? Now, remember the topic, high winds or dark clouds. Faith still marches on. Are you going to keep on believing despite all the challenges? It's exhortation this morning. Nothing we haven't already heard. But the Lord wants me to remind you, because in the days ahead, you are going to need this. Now, for your faith to be valid, it has to be based on the Word of God. You know, we've talked about that many times. Lamentation 3 and 37 talks about that. Who is it that saith anything and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? Well, that's even the same thing for the devil. Devil can't do anything that will come to pass if the Lord hasn't given the command. And so you look at it both ways. You can't decree anything except God's word said so already. Neither can the devil do anything. You know, the devil had to come to permission in the case of Job. And they said, well, you know, yeah, of course, you know, he loves you and everything because you set a hedge around it. You know, and the devil will try to weaken that situation and everything. And God will send you on an errand. The devil will come against you with so many things. You know, you're going to have to decide what you're going to do. You have opportunity. And the way that Jesus walks, when he does what he's going to do, most of the time he puts it back in your hands. That's how he does it. There is a story here in Matthew chapter 14. You know, there are many stories in that chapter. You know, there is one that I want to talk about from verse 22 to about 32. I started at verse 22 because we see the life of prayer that Jesus had. You know, he had just done some incredible things. And then, you know, he went to prayer. I'm going to come back to an earlier part of that in a minute. You know, so, but after he just fed the multitudes, I'm coming back to that. But I want to show you here, you know, that he went to prayer, sent the sheep away, everybody, and then he went to prayer alone. And then those people that were in the sheep, a tempest and everything rose up against them, you know. And so Jesus, the boat has already left, no problem. He's going to catch up with the boat, you know. And Jesus has his way of doing things, right? You know, he's going to catch up in the boat, walking on the water. Doesn't make any difference to him at all, boat is left or not. You know, so the disciples, they now see him walking on the sea. And they were troubled. And they said, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straight away, Jesus spoke unto them and said, I'm reading now at Matthew 14 and 27. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Well, then Peter said, Lord, if it is you, then bid me come on the water. You know, Peter, he's always going to take some challenge or try to do something. And the Lord said, come. And so Peter, he comes down, jumps in the water, and he's walking on the water. Go to Jesus. Isn't that amazing? I mean, how many of us have actually ever walked on water? Peter walked on water. Most people, when they remember this story, all we talk about is how Peter began to sink. I took his eyes off Christ. And then he began to sing. Well, I'm going to talk about that too in a minute. But let's not forget that Peter actually walked on water. You know, he did walk on water. I don't know how many steps, but he actually did walk on water. Hallelujah. Because he walked on water for a while. But when he now saw that the waves were boisterous and everything. They said, oh my goodness, I can't walk on water. Well, the winds were boisterous the whole time. You know, because we already told that the wind was contrary, you know, in verse 24. He already told you that, you know. So, but when he kept his eyes on Jesus and not looking at the winds, remember, high winds or dark clouds. When he wasn't looking at the winds, but looking at Jesus, it was okay. He could just walk on the water, just like Jesus. Walk on, Peter. Hallelujah. But then when he took his eyes off Jesus and began to look at the winds and everything up and down, you know, all these high waves coming at him, he said, I can't walk on water. Then he began to sink. You know, so when you look at the winds, when you look at the dark clouds, you're not going to take the next step of faith. You know, you're going to stop and say, I can't do that. And then you're going to begin to sink. So we see that that's what happened in the case of Peter here. And Jesus had to reach out and help him. And he said, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Which means, you know, if he hadn't doubted, he could have continued to walk. He doubted and he started to sink. But let me go earlier in that story of Matthew 14. Like I said, great things in that chapter. Here is a story now of, you know, a lot of people, you know, that gathered together, right? I mean, these similar stories like this, in several parts of the Gospels. You know, so they've been following Jesus around, and now, you know, it's time, you know, it's evening time. Stores are closed. You know, there's no food for anybody, you know. So, you know, he said to disciples, came to him, send them away, you know, and all that, so they can go and buy some refreshments for themselves. Jesus said, there's no need to send them away. You give them to eat. And they said, we give them to eat? I mean, all these thousands of people? Yeah. And he said, all we have here is just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You know, and Jesus said, well, bring them to me. It's enough. Glory to God. So he commanded the multitudes to sit down. In another place, he said he gave instructions to the disciples to make them sit down in companies by 50s or whatever, you know. And when they sat down, Jesus looked up to heaven. He blessed, broke, and gave the loaves to his disciples. And so that's the part also that I want to bring out. Sharing this with someone yesterday and said, look, the things that God will do for you, especially in this year. Now you listen to this. Men and brethren, brothers and sisters that are here in this room today. When the Lord puts the blessing on the thing, he's going to put it back in your hands. That's exactly right. You know, Jesus never gave the bread to the people or the multitude. No. He blessed it and just gave it right back to the disciples. And as I've said many times, I'm sure some of you have heard me say this, and I'll say it again this morning. It wasn't a big feat, no great, you know, thing to break bread, to take 2 loaves and break it into 12 and give it to the disciples. Anybody can do that. You can do that on any day, getting out of bed. You don't even need to have faith to just break bread. I mean, 2 loaves. You can even break 1 loaf into 12 pieces. So that, there was nothing big or miraculous about that. I mean, it seemed simple enough. But the thing was that he put a blessing on it. But then he put it right back into the hands of the disciples. So when God is blessing you, he's going to put it right back into your hands. And you will now be the one to do something with it. Now, at that time, you can now say, well, I can't feed multitudes with just these few crumbs in my hands. or you can dish it out. And the more you dish it out, the more the thing is increasing in the hands of the disciples. Thing wasn't increasing in the hands of Jesus. He just took the loaves as they were, broke it into 12, gave it to the disciples. That's it. Jesus was done with his part and he just moved on. Now it's left to the disciples to keep on believing and keep on dishing it out. And as long as they kept believing and as long as there were still multitudes to feed, the thing kept multiplying in the hands of the disciples. Now, at some point in time, they might have said, well, we can't. I can't feed multitudes with this thing. And then the thing would have stopped. But thank God they believed. The blessing of God that Jesus put on the thing prevailed. Every time that God gives you instruction, you got to follow the instruction. Don't look at circumstances. One time it was time to pay their taxes. And Jesus said to Peter, well, go down to the lake and catch the fish and so forth. The first fish you catch, open its mouth, you find a coin, pay for me and you. Well, you know, Peter had to also go down to get his fishing gear. He wasn't carrying the gear around. But the whole time he could be thinking, I'm not going to, what's this? Catch a fish? Open his mouth, coin will be there. How do I know that's going to happen? The devil will put all those thoughts. And you could be thinking, well, gee, you know, now, where am I? I got to go all the way back to my house to get my fishing gear. I mean, that could be all kinds of reasons or reasoning. You know, how do you know that even when you catch the fish, there's going to be a coin in his mouth? How do you even know you're going to catch any fish? There's so many opportunities along the way to doubt the word and the instruction that Jesus gave. But anytime you look at those circumstances, anytime you look away from the word of promise, then you might just miss it. You know, so that's the lesson for today. You know, no matter what's going on, we got to keep our eyes on the promise. And let's bring in some lessons from the life of David. Psalm 18, verse 29. David said that he was able to do this. And my question to us today, myself included, is can you do this? Can you? That's the question. Or are you going to say, well, gee, those people who are against me are more than me? You know, Psalm 18 verse 29 says, you know, for by thee I have run through a troop. Well, he needs to get somewhere and there's a troop in front of him. I say, you're not getting through. It doesn't matter to him. He's going to get through that troop. You can see the troop that's trying to prevent you. It's kind of like the gates of hell closing in on your path. You're on the paths of righteousness trying to get to the promised land. The gates of hell are closing in, trying to make sure that you don't get there. But Jesus already said the gates will not prevail. But you can see the troops. You can see, you know, a mountain or a wall in front of you. Or you can see the prize that is just on the other side of the wall. I mean, what are you going to see? Well, in David's case, he said, look, I don't care if it's a troop. I'm going through. I don't care if there's a wall. I'm leaping over it. I'm getting around it one way or another. You know, because he's got his eyes on the prize. You know, there's something on the other side of that wall, and I want it. I'm going to get it. And I'm not going to let some troop or anything like that, you know, keep me. I mean, can you do this? Can you get the victory no matter what? Well, Jesus can give you the victory, but you got to look at the victory and not the immediate conflict, conflicting. I mean, people many times were conflicted in our faith. You know, on the one hand, we're trying to believe God, and then all the circumstances, the dark clouds, the high winds, and all these things around us. In Psalm 118, verses 10 to 12, I love this one, and I love the way he puts it, and how he repeats the same thing many times in just two or three verses, and it shows his confidence. You know, he doesn't care how many things are against him. You know, so let's read it together. Psalm 118. Let's read from verse 10. He said, all nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. Well, yours may not be nations, you know, but you may have circumstances. There may be all kinds of things, but can you get a victory over the situation? You know, we were in the room, I don't know if it was yesterday or so, and, you know, one of our sisters was giving a testimony, and then everything was going well, and then that particular day, everything would just start going the other way. You know, everything, things were just wrong. One little thing here, then another little thing there, you know, and even when she got in the kitchen, you know, pot was melting. I mean, it was just one thing or the other. Something wrong with the refrigerator, something wrong with this, maybe something wrong with your car, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, all of these things, you know. And, I mean, imagine you want to go to work in the morning, you know, and then your car wouldn't start or your garage door wouldn't open or something. I mean, there's going to be all kinds of things. But is that going to keep you from getting to work? Maybe. It will keep most people. I mean, you know, but, you know, sometimes we have to look at situations in life and see how we react. If you're going somewhere and all of a sudden you see a roadblock or this, you know, they put up these signs all the time, you know, detour or whatever, roadwalk ahead or so on. And if you get there and the road is blocked, you know, there will be signs or instructions of how to get around it, but you have a choice. You can let the road block, discourage you from going to where you are going and just, you know, but most people in their right senses wouldn't do that. They will just find another way around it. I mean, if we do those in natural things that we don't think about, naturally you do that when you're driving and you find a roadblock, you find another way around because you want to get to where you're going. Now, it would be really silly for anybody, and they saw a roadblock, and then just turn back. Most people don't behave like that. But we do that in other things. We would turn back. We would be discouraged. The Lord's already giving you instruction of something to do, you know, and, but there will be all these things around you. So let's see how David put it here. All nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. Yea, they compass me about, you know, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. And second time in two verses that he's saying that. Now listen to third verse. They compass me about like bees, but they are quenched as the fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. Glory to God. Three times in three verses. He's not going to be dismayed by the multitude of challenges around him. He said, look, I'm going to destroy it. I'm going to get the victory. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Thanks be unto God, who always causes us to get the victory. I'm not worried about the clouds, the little things start to spoil my day. You start out the day, everything is good, and then all of a sudden all these things are happening. Well, are you going to let that steal your joy? Are you going to keep moving? You know, the Lord's giving you instructions on, you know, how to do something, start a business or whatever, you know, or how to get some, you know, knowledge. You know, remember when we taught the knowledge series or the wisdom series, I said, look, the knowledge you have is what gives you an advantage over what others don't have. And the Lord will give you instruction. But then you can look around you and there will be all kinds of discouraging factors. Well, you can look at those factors and not do it. Or, you know, we covered this also when we did Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, right? You can use the word to say nevertheless. I mean, Peter, in, you know, Luke chapter 5, you saw the story. He was out there with his friends all night long. They caught nothing, you know, and they packed in their nets and they gave up. But Jesus steps into the boat. Now, Jesus actually waited until they gave up. And then he stepped into the boat and said, you know, gave instructions on what to do. Basically, Jesus said this, do it again. Hallelujah. Do it again. And Peter said, well, I don't know. You know, we've done this all night. We didn't catch anything. Well, that's the soul saying that. Remember, we taught that lesson in Hebrews chapter 4 and 12. That's the soul that says that. But then you remember that this is the master that is speaking. And immediately in your spirit, you latch onto the word and say, well, nevertheless. You know, the nevertheless, you're going to have opportunities for nevertheless situations coming up in the days ahead where you'll be faced with, look, you can't do that. Well, everything is all, you know, contrary. There's high winds, there's dark clouds and so forth. But are you going to do a nevertheless? Yeah, there's dark clouds, there's high clouds, but nevertheless, at the word of God, I'm going to move forward. You know, so when they eventually follow the instruction, they caught a great multitude of fish. Now, the story in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 40, which we have again talked about many, many times. Now, Jesus, he knew the storm was coming. I mean, you know, and, you know, sometimes the Lord may even send you right into the storm. You think, you know, you say, wow, would the Lord do that? He may, but he doesn't send you into the storm. He sends you through the storm. Let me correct that. I correct myself in that. The Lord will not send you into the storm, but he will send you through the storm. Big difference. You know, that's what the psalmist said in Psalm 23. He said, look, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you know, I will, you know, fear no evil. Psalm 23 verse 4. So he's walking through. He's not walking into. If you walk into the valley of the shadow of death, that's a dead end. You're not coming out. But if you walk through, then, you know, you already know you're coming out on the other side. You know, that's what Isaiah 43 and verse 2 says. When you pass through the fire, and when you pass through the floods, you know, well, but you can, you know, you have to know that the Lord has the ability. He's saying, I'll meet you on the other side. Let us pass to the other side, he said in this story. He knew the storm was coming, but he's going to send them through the storm. And then he's going to go, but you can say, wow, gee, we can't go. The storm is here and there. You know, all you can believe his word. Hallelujah. Now, keep your eyes on the promise. The promise by faith is, you know, that's what the Lord is looking for. Can you believe the Lord? You know, can you run through troops? Can you leap over walls? Can you move forward even in spite of the high winds and the dark clouds? Can you do it? You know, can you, do you believe that you will still prosper despite the economic woes around? You know, I mean, or you can look at the situations around and just give up or give in. I mean, listen to what Habakkuk said. I mean, it's a situation that you could call bankruptcy. Although the fig tree shall not blossom. Habakkuk 3 and 17. Well, this man is not going to be looking at the fig tree drying up. The fig tree had dried up. There is no fruit in the vines. The labor of the olive has failed. The fields are not yielding any meat. The flocks are cut off from the fold. I mean, there is no herd in the stars. You know, I mean, these people, you remember, their business was cattle ranching and farming and all of that. And all of that was gone upside down. Everything destroyed, vanquished, you know, gone. Well, what are you going to do when all of that is there? Are you going to look at those? Are you going to keep your eyes and your minds on those situations? Or are you going to still rejoice in the Lord? He said, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I'm not going to look at all those conditions. Don't let any of those conditions steal my joy. Yet will I joy in the God of my salvation, for the Lord God is my strength. And he will make my feet like hinds' feet. And he will make me to walk upon my high places. Hallelujah. You know, so this is our exhortation this morning. And that's where I'm going to leave it. And in summary, what we are talking about is this. rather than looking at the waves, rather than looking at the high clouds, I mean high winds and dark clouds, keep your eyes on Jesus. Hallelujah. The Bible says, let's keep our eyes on Jesus and run with patience the race that is set before us. Just like Jesus did. Hallelujah. Jesus ran with patience the race that was set before him. We'll cover this when we get to Hebrews 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You ought to look unto Jesus, not looking at the problems. And Jesus himself did the same thing. Was looking, kept his eyes on the prize. You know, I mean, there was a lot of things. There was a darkness he had to face. You talk about dark clouds. Jesus had to face complete darkness. Because all the sins of the world were going to be laid upon him. And remember, 1 John chapter 1 verse 5. God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So all the darkness and the sins of this world were going to be laid upon him. You know, and he was going to be separated from the Father. A thing that has never happened before. Well, I mean, you could be looking at the moment of darkness, the moment of all of that. Or you can look beyond that for the prize that is set ahead of him. The pearl of gold, you know, the pearl of great price that he was going to get. You know, but Jesus chose to not, in his flesh, he said, well, I can't, you know, do that. You know, Father, if it's your will, you know, take it away from me. But in his spirit, he immediately said, nevertheless. Hallelujah. another nevertheless moment. Nevertheless, let your will be done. And he went for the prize. And he got it too. That's why we are here today. Glory to God in the highest. He endured the cross. Despised the shame. I mean, could have been looking at the shame. I mean, hang upon the tree. I mean, that's a curse. You know, but yeah. He faced it. You know, so consider him that endured such contradiction. Sinners and so on against himself. You know. So that you will not be weary and you will not faint in your minds. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is it. What is going to be your posture and your response when you're looking at what seems like a bunch of thorns and roses? Will you see the thorns or will you see the roses? When you're looking at a glass of water that has water halfway, will you be seeing it as half empty or half full? When the Lord is giving you instructions to go forward, well, you can go forward or you can be looking at the Red Sea, and you will have your Red Sea moments coming up. If you are not already experienced some of you already experienced some this year, and there will be more coming. But what are you going to do? Well, you're going to remember this lesson today, and I'm not going to look at how deep the sea might be or how dark the clouds might be or how high the winds might be. I'm going to move forward because the Lord said move forward. I'm going to take the next step of faith, and every step you take, there will be more things that the devil will throw at you to discourage you and stop you. But you must take the next step of faith, one step at a time. And if you are looking at, well, gee, the clock is winding down, can't do anything, or are you going to take the shot? You might just make the basket and you become a hero. Well, or you might think, well, what if I miss it? Well, what if you make it? Glory to God. A lesson, a powerful lesson, also in Matthew chapter 20. You know, Jesus can come to you at the last moment and say, why are you standing idle here all day long? You say, well, you know, because nobody has hired me or hired us. And he can say to you, it's called the late hour workers. And God is the God of the 11th hour. There's no, it doesn't mean anything to him. 11th hour, 1st hour, 0 hour, 10th hour, it's all the same to him. And he can say to you in the 11th hour, when nothing's going on, just like Peter all night long, nothing's going on, he can come up and say, go now and work. And they can say, no, there's only 1 hour left in the day. I can't do, we can't, what are we going to accomplish in 1 hour? I mean, look at all the people that have been there ahead of us. You know, some people are always comparing themselves with others. You know, maybe you are late getting started in life, maybe late getting married, maybe late having children, maybe late getting an education, maybe late getting whatever. And you can be looking at others, you know, say, well, there's only 1 hour left in the day. Well, I mean, well, I can't do that. Or you can take this step of faith and go and walk in the vineyard, just like the master said. Thank God that those people did. And the God of the 11th hour, when he showed up, he had a plan to make those people the same, even as those who had walked all day long. And that's God. He can do that. You know, he's the king. He can throw you hand you out a scepter, make a law just for you. And everybody else can grumble about it. That's their problem. And the master will say, look, what is it to you, friend? I do thee no harm. I do thee no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a penny a day? I give to you what you agreed on. You go your way. I give to this one the same as I gave to you. Is your eye evil because I'm good? You know, the Lord can do that. Don't worry about the situation. Say, well, you know, I only got 1 hour left. I mean, look at all the people that went ahead of me. Look at all the things they've already achieved. I mean, how am I going to catch up? Well, don't worry about that. You just follow the instruction of the master. If the master tell you, go and walk in the vineyard, whether there's 1 minute left, don't worry about it. Do it. Whether there's 1 hour left, just do it. Because he has a plan. And in his mind, he can make your 1 hour the same as those who were there for 11 hours. He can do the same. Doesn't matter to him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So this is our lesson today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for everyone that listened. May the Holy Spirit instruct our minds with this word and remind us in the days ahead, when situations are in front of us, when the dark winds are there, dark clouds are there and the high winds, that we will not, you know, observe the winds, we will not regard the clouds, we will keep our eyes on the promise and the instructions that you gave. And we will follow the instructions just like you gave, to go forward and to not be discouraged. I give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. Strengthen everyone, Lord, in the inner mind, in our inner man today, to see not the thorns, but the roses. That we will see not a half empty glass of water, but a half full glass of water, knowing that the water is rising rather than thinking the water is diminishing. Give us the grace, Lord, not to see the giants that are in the land, but to see the land that is full of milk and honey. Possibilities, endless possibilities, as we stand on the edge of infinite possibilities through your promises. I pray, Lord, that you instruct us in the same, like these stories we have read today, to know that we can go through, run through troops, leap over walls, situations that compass us about. We're not going to worry about those. In the name of the Lord, we destroy them all. And we're going to keep marching on, because despite the high winds or the dark clouds, our faith will still march on. We give you, Lord, glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.